Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jackson looking to throw, floats one out there, likely is in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
A struggle in the red area. You see Likely coming out there almost if he's going to block Fitzpatrick, and then runs right by him. So
it's a play fake. Wilson throwing end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Michael Pruitt hauls it in. Steelers win. They win the division. Ravens win. They're in the playoffs and keep their division hopes alive. Here's Wilson again. Oh, and this big seam there. Wilson going to take off. Look at him go. Inside the 10. Russell Wilson decked inside the 5. Ball comes out. Who's going to grab it? Ravens have it. Third and 8. Jackson going end zone. It is caught. Bateman. Touchdown. On the fake. Go back the other way, and that's caught. Look at this screenplay. Henry trucking through people down to the 10. Jackson zips it over the middle, and it's caught for the touchdown. Mark Andrews for 6.
And you just felt like at some point it would break open for him.
Jackson. And it's intercepted. Minkah Fitzpatrick has it. The All-Pro cutting back, looking for a home run. Oh, what a big play. Play fake. Wilson, pressure. Has to get rid of it, and that's picked off the other way. Marlon Humphrey, pick 6.
Just running a naked bootleg, and Russell's exposed. And he tries to flip the ball out to Pruitt, and behind him is Humphrey. And he is not dropping that. Gets pressure by Owe, and he knows it as soon as he let it go.
Bob, you never want to be exposed on a naked bootleg, do you?
Yeah, naked bootlegs. I mean, depends on what you want to.
Well, yeah.
What a way to start the show.
Exposed, maybe some do. I don't
naked,
know.
Naked, yeah. Bootleg.
Yeah.
All in the same
I don't
sentence.
Know. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine. How are you today?
You look wonderful. You have a Sirixon hat. You're dressed for golf. Are you playing indoors today, later today?
No. Okay. I'm not. I just, a lot of golf swag. I like to wear it because I don't wear it nearly as much as I should, because that doesn't mean I play as much golf as I should.
The important point being, you look wonderful. At least 10 years younger than you are, still, maybe 20.
I give you credit for wearing that Sabres hat. They are just now.
What is it, 12 in a row now?
12 in a row, yeah. My goodness.
That's my good luck charm, although I'm having a lot of bad luck, so I don't know why I'm wearing it. Limits, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, guys. It's great to be here.
It doesn't sound like it. What's wrong?
Bob, does something sound wrong?
It did.
No.
I'm over the moon. I'm very happy right now, other than the Steelers lost.
Why?
I was at the Penn State playoff victory.
Oh, for
that
a Penn State
a
guy,
fun.
This was a
was
giant
a good,
weekend.
Was a great
I watched
weekend.
The volleyball team win a national championship.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Oh, that's more
and
like it,
Andrew
Limits.
And now Andrew McCutchen is coming back. I'm feeling great, Joe. What do you mean?
Well, why don't we hit on that right before we get to Steelers, even after your wonderful opening, because that's breaking news even in the moment. Bob, your thoughts on McCutchen returning, because I have several.
I'm a big fan of Andrew McCutchen, what he's done, what he represents, face of this franchise in many ways over the last several years. But when it comes to being a designated hitter, and I think that's pretty much what he is it the same deal, 1 year, $5 million, basically?
That has not been announced yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same. But this is, to me, not a nostalgia tour if you're trying to be competitive. And, you know, it's the same thing that the Penguins kind of went into, and I understand all of it, don't get me wrong. It's just that to me it represents, if you're trying to upgrade at a position that you need a lot of offense, I don't know if he fits the bill. And I say that with all due respect for what he's done. I'm not trying to in any way, but I said, you know, you get to a point where I want to see some guy. I want to see Pete Alonso's. You know, I want to see somebody who's going to hit 40 home runs as a designated. If you're going to play that game, that's the way you should go. Now, having said that, Andrew McCutchen is a wonderful person. I'm glad for he and his family. They could be here if they want to be here. But if he's in the lineup every day, Joe, I don't know if that's a good thing for the Pirates.
Bob, I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just said. I thought we might have a differing of opinions here. I love Andrew McCutchen. Who doesn't? He's given his heart and his soul to the city, and he's one of the rare guys for that franchise who actually wants to be here and never wanted to leave, and God bless him for that. But at some point, you have to move on from this. And the fact that this happens on the same day that Joc Pederson goes for 2 years and $37 million to Texas. Now, there's a guy who is a slugger. Who you put in your lineup.
Coming off a great year, by the way.
Yeah, and he plays against righties, and you stick him in your lineup as a DH, and there you go. McCutchen had an okay year, but if the is he going to be their full-time DH? If the best you can do at this point is, how old is he at this right now? 38?
Yeah, 36? 37? 38.
Okay. He hit .232 with a .739 OPS. It's not bad. It's okay. But the other thing is, when guys get to this age, you want to sort of cut it off a year too soon rather than a year too late. And it happens on the same day that Joc Pederson goes, a real slugger, at $18.5 million a year.
Which is perfectly affordable. That's exactly what they should be looking for in that position.
Perfectly affordable. And I can't help but read this almost as a distraction from the fact that they've done nothing. Nothing. And they have Paul Skeens, and they allegedly are going to have a great young pitching staff, and they've done nothing to help a joke of a lineup. And this is what you're going to give people? I don't know. I don't know, Bob. I'm not a big fan of it. I am a big fan of McCutchen, but there comes a time, as the great Neil Young once said.
And you're right. They haven't done anything to help their lineup. What are they waiting for? I mean, there are free agents out there. If you wait and wait and wait, you're going to end up with the same kind of free agents you've ended up for the last several years.
It's as if they're saying, well, we're not going to give you much or anything, but we will give you a guy that you love in McCutchen. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of this.
Well, I mean, I like that they are bringing him back because I feel like him being a part of just the culture and them trying to figure this thing out is all worth it. But I'm with you guys to a point where I don't want him to be the every single day DH. I'd rather it be more so like a 60-40 split with somebody,
yeah, but
whether it's Henry
by
Davis.
By him being on the roster, he has to get his at-bats, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. He can't play the field.
But who's he taking a roster spot away from?
Somebody
Alika
who
Williams,
you could have got
Brian
that's better.
Brian Cruz?
No, he's a DH strictly.
Somebody like a Joc Pederson.
Somebody you could have gotten that's a better DH.
Give me $20 million a year for a guy
thinking they would bring Joc Pederson in. I'm just not realistic.
Well, then they've gotten to your head. They're making you think that they can't afford it.
I would agree with that. I agree with
that. They're making you think that they can't afford. They can afford it.
So because it's not realistic in your opinion, you're willing to settle for an everyday DH who had an OPS of .739.
No, and he's striking out too much. I mean, his walk numbers are good, and he's occasionally is being able to still provide some pop. Could they find somebody better? I mean, when I look at the lineup that they put
yes,
out there
would
last
be the
year,
answer to that.
He was their third or fourth best hitter every single time out.
Well, that's an indictment of their lineup.
I agree. Are they just going to overhaul the entire thing? No. I want them to, but I don't think they will.
Okay, but you're okay with that. That's the problem. And that's why I don't like that. I'm trying to see what they're willing to do.
This is a pirate therapy session for
with
you.
They got a pitching staff that they know is a good pitching staff potentially. Go out and give it what it needs. And it needs offense. They don't have much of it to begin with. And so far, they haven't done anything. If you believe that Spencer Horwitz is fine, okay, fine. A lot of people do, and that's fine. And I hope it works out because I think he has potential there. But I also know that they gave up a starting pitcher who I think has been coveted by other teams to get him, and we'll see what it means. But I want to see bigger plays. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying go out and get a $300 or $300 million guy. What I am saying is you could afford $25 million a year for somebody.
18 and a half for Joc Pederson. 18 and a half he went to the Rangers for. You couldn't do 19. Couldn't even punch it up to 20. I don't know. And I love McCutchen. I
so
do.
We all do. I mean, he's, like I said, face of the franchise. Does everything right. brings great publicity here because of what he is, what he does, how he's involved in the community. His family's great. All of that's great. And it's no disrespect to him. What it is, come on, do better. Come up with some bats. And if he's on the team, fine. But then go out and get somebody to play, you know. Well, the first base answer, I can't even use that because they figured out their first base. I want a bat.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
As Keith Law said after that trade, the Pirates went into this trade looking for a first baseman, and they should still be looking for
one. Yeah, but in their minds, have they gotten him?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Yeah, their minds, that's the problem.
That's
you
the
just
problem.
Told him.
And they believe they have an answer. Now, they may or may not be right. And if they're not right, then they've, again, sacrificed a position that needs power.
And he did hit 20, but he also had almost 500 at-bats. So, you know.
I think there are a lot of other big pressing needs and problems that the Pirates have before Andrew McCutchen is high on that list.
I would agree. But, okay, how do you solve them?
I would disagree. They just brought back a guy to be their designated, and here's the key word, hitter, who hit 230 last year with a 739 OPS. Their biggest problem is bats. They just told you as a fan that this is their biggest offseason answer so far. Are you okay with that?
And do you think this Spencer
Are you Horwitz, okay with that?
That this is their biggest move? No, not at all. I mean, are you surprised that the Pirates promotional
Different
team is
question.
Trying to hype up Andrew McCutchen?
Different question.
Yeah, but after a while, that goes stale too.
Apparently not in their minds.
Well, again, a different topic. Totally different topic and different question. Then should you be happy with the Pirates going out and get Andrew McCutchen, and where does he rank among the team's list of issues? I want a big upgrade at designated hitter.
If this is their
a
biggest
big
move
upgrade.
In the offseason, it's complete failure. Because we all knew McCutchen was going to come back. They need a first baseman. They need an outfielder. They probably need somebody to play third base over Key Brian Hayes.
That's not going to happen.
Not, again,
no, it's not. And that's
they need
part
bats.
Of the problem, too.
They need bats. Big bats. He's not one anymore. So, all right, we move on.
Well, hopefully they'll bring in more, and then we won't have to worry about this conversation. But I just have this feeling that you're not going to get much else. The people who are left are people that are just, you know, the same kinds they've been bringing in over the years. And I wanted to see better with that. You only have so many years of Paul Skeens. Let's make it count.
Bob, you're on fire today. I co-opt or co-sign. Co-opt? Can I co-opt what you said?
Co-op,
I co-sign
man.
Everything you said. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. If you want to weigh in on that, please, at 412-928-9370. That's also the text line with our dear friend City Limits, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. But topic number one, as always, what is happening with the Steelers? What is happening, Bob? And I'm going to go into a three-part soliloquy first, if you don't mind. I'll keep it short.
I love that word, soliloquy.
I'm going to keep it short, but it's a three-part soliloquy, and it's designed for people who can hold more than one idea in their head, who can actually hold competing ideas in their head, like the idea that even though Russell Wilson lost the game the other day quite clearly, that his performance overall could portend better things ahead. Now, I know that's complicated, but we're going to give it a shot here, okay? A three-part soliloquy, Limits. Part one, it was the Browns game. Remember the free passes given out on this station by people who shall go unnamed? Pony? If you win that game, and how embarrassing it was that you lost it, you don't have all the worries you have today, do you? That wasn't a free pass game. That was a game you needed to win. The Browns haven't won since. The quarterback who beat you is now benched and may never start another NFL game. That game was an embarrassment. You win that game because it gives you a cushion so you can survive a loss to a better team, Philly, and survive a loss where half your roster's missing, Baltimore. That's why you beat the Browns. That's why you do that. Instead of lose to them with an idiotic decision looming large, which was to put your frozen quarterback in the game who hadn't thrown a pass in over a month, literally over a month. You might as well have thrown an ice statue out there. I know he had run earlier in the game, and you let him throw one of the biggest passes of the game when your red-hot starter, who went something like 22 for 28 that night, had just delivered a dime down the seam for a touchdown and was actually hot, which is the opposite of cold. No, you let Fields throw that ball. and then you didn't call Kevin Stefanski's bluff and made him either kick a field goal or go for it on fourth and two with time running out, which was the real point. You gave them more time to kill and then an easy decision, which was third and seven. You don't kick on third and seven with 2 minutes left. So Mike Tomlin completely butchered that game, and that's the one that could haunt them, not the one we saw on Sunday. And that leads to point number two, Bob. Did people think they were going to win on Sunday? You know, really? I get it. It was the Ravens. Part of me thought it might still be a curse. But if you actually looked at it, like Vegas did, and saw that T.J. Watt was probably going to be compromised, their best receiver wasn't going to play, they were already missing half their secondary, including Deshaun Elliott, who's been great this year. Soon it would be three-fourths of their secondary. What's with all the hand-wringing and tears and rage over losing that game to the Ravens? They were a touchdown underdog. In the NFL, if you're a touchdown underdog, in order to win, it's practically the miracle on ice. They weren't going to win that game. They're not going to win any games if they don't have Pickens, three quarters of their secondary, and a compromised TJ Watt. They'll lose out. So you better hope they get their players back. That game is impossible for me to judge. Everybody with a brain knew the Ravens were going to win and maybe win big. I had it at 26-14. And the third part of this soliloquy, Bob, is Russell Wilson's performance and my real thoughts on the Steelers' playoff hopes. It's never been about predicting the Steelers were going to win a playoff game or the Super Bowl or anything like that. Not the whole year, not since Wilson came in. It's about, are they better than they've been? Do they actually have a chance compared to recent years? And the answer for me is still a resounding yes, and I actually look at that performance by Russell as confirmation of that. Two competing ideas. Everybody ready for this? Open your brains. One, he lost the game for them. There's no question about that. That's simply a fact. Two, his actual performance gave me hope that the Steelers are better than in recent years. He was spectacular at times. He pushes the ball down the field. He's one of the better intermediate to deep ball passers in the game right now through eye test and through statistics, if you want to look that up. So I looked at his overall performance and said to myself, I'm actually encouraged when I look ahead to the most important games by what Russell did. And he lost that particular game for them. Bob, I cede the floor to you.
Well, let me go back and talk about the game against the Ravens, because I, like you, did not think they were going to win. I, like you, think the Ravens are a legitimate team that can do a lot of damage with their offense first and foremost. You know, anyone in the NFL is going to have a hard time stopping Derrick Henry, number one. And they made it too easy up the middle. They were just gaping holes all over the place. He ran through them like,
a knife through hot butter, Bob.
A sports car with the work ethic of a truck.
Like Mulsey through a craft beer house.
He did, and it was easy for them. I think the Steelers are going to have a hard time with a good run game in the playoffs. But, again, to your point, they've missed a lot of people on injury. So I'm going to factor that into this. The Steelers-Ravens is always a good game. It's always a rivalry. It's always going to be hotly contested. But if you're asking me in the playoffs, a team I don't want to play, it's the Baltimore Ravens. I don't care where it is. I don't want to play them. A lot of people would say, no, you want to play them because you know how to beat them. Nah, this is a different Lamar Jackson to me. Anyway, with regard to Russell Wilson, I will share your sentiment that that performance cost them the game. He had two egregious mistakes, but the first one I'm not going to necessarily hold against him. I think he was trying to make a play. He saw the end zone. He wanted to somehow get in the end zone. Earlier in the day, watching a lot of games, you see Patrick Mahomes with a hobbled leg, knee, or ankle do the same thing. You could not have advised him to do it, but he did it anyway, and he got into the end zone. So I don't look at that as anything other than a guy trying to be too heroic. Should he have slid? Sure. I thought he should have slid mostly because I thought you don't want to get injured. He can't afford to be injured. He took a big hit. The fumble, okay. The defense had a chance to save him, and they didn't. They allowed a 96-yard drive immediately following that, so that's not good. But his performance overall, I think, was good. Take away the last one. It was a terrible throw. It was the worst throw he's made as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Ball guy, I don't know what the reason is, got away from him. I would have preferred him throwing it away or at least throwing it out so Pruitt had a chance to dive to get it. But don't throw it to where Marlon Humphrey is, and that's exactly what he did and nullified a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception. So Russell Wilson played a good game. I can say that even with two terrible turnovers that cost them the game. So, the thing about this, going back, and I agree, those games against Cleveland or any games you're supposed to win, when you don't win them, they're going to come back to bite you. They always do. And it may be not so much it cost you a playoff spot, but it may cost you positioning in the playoffs. You may have to go a path that you don't want to go on because of the one game that you were supposed to win that you didn't win.
May cost you a playoff win.
Yes, it may. So overall, I think when healthy, and hopefully we're going to see a healthy team, I don't expect them to beat the Chiefs. Do you? I don't.
See, the Chiefs are less...
I was hoping
that
Buffalo would lose yesterday, or yeah, lose so that that's over with. Chiefs then can decide, we won the division, we won everything, we have the number one seed. We don't need to play Patrick Mahomes in this game. Or if we do, it'll be just for a little bit.
I mean, they do have a two-game lead with two left, so...
Yeah, but they're still... That's the
point. Urgency,
if they lose, right. They go into Denver knowing they got to win. You don't want to... If you're Andy Reid, to me...
If Buffalo wins twice, did you see
Buffalo's
them yesterday?
Buffalo's going to win.
You sure about
yes,
that?
Yes, I'm sure about
Josh
that.
Because Josh Allen couldn't throw the ball at the end of the game. Looked to me like
they're
his hand was hurt.
Win.
And they stunk.
They're going to win.
Okay.
They stunk and they won. That tells you how bad New England is, and they're going to play them again, plus the Jets. They're going to win all three. That's what. Why? I was hoping they would somehow lose so that this game would help the Steelers in that regard.
I actually can, to answer your question that you threw out, is I do think they can beat the Chiefs, yes.
I think they can, but I'm asking you, do you think they will?
I haven't formulated a full opinion. My early week read is
if they make
yes.
some of the mistakes
yes.
they
yeah.
made
give
in
me
that
George
Baltimore
Pickens.
Game, if they made the mistakes, a secondary, which is confused, I know it's still
yeah,
going to be
give me healthy players
you're
in the secondary.
You're not going to have healthy players. You're going to have
you know?
Joe. Well, he made it sound like Joey Porter may not play. And if he doesn't play, who's going to pick up that slack?
I'd rather have
James
Deshaun Elliott because Tomlin, first of all, wasn't telling the truth after the game when he said secondary guys don't have anything to do with the run game. What? Deshaun Elliott's one of the best run defenders in any
I'll
secondary in football.
But guess what Pat Mahomes does? He moves that ball all over the place. Did you notice they have Hollywood Brown back?
Yes.
Yeah, they have him with Worthy.
The team that's getting healthy is the
Chiefs. They have him with Hopkins. They have him with Kelsey. They have him with Pacheco. They're all healthy.
All right, I'm going to predict the Steelers win. How do you like that?
That's fine. I may still do that, but I'm saying right now, based on how it looks, I wouldn't expect that, which means, you know, you're going to have to go to the final game of the year, probably having to beat. That's, you know, Baltimore can lose too, and if they do, the Steelers will win it. So there's a lot of options for the Steelers still to win the AFC North. And when they do, if they do, no one should complain that they backed in. I don't want to hear that either. This is a long body of 17 games. If you win the division, you win the division, period. And it should be celebrated as such because you get a third seed, you get a home.
Doesn't make any difference.
But a lot of people, if they should lose their final four, but Baltimore loses to Houston and they win, so you go into an AFC North championship with four straight losses, I don't care. You're in there. Figure
it out.
No,
wait a second. They still, if Baltimore goes 1-1, then the Steelers need to win 1-2.
Yeah, and the Steelers can't go 0-2 is what I'm saying. And, and I'm saying if the scenario happens that they lose to Kansas City and then beat Cincinnati, and they get in because Baltimore lost, not so much that
it's
they
won. It's
about
your body of work.
Right.
That's all.
But you know you're going to hear that. You're going to hear people say, well, they backed in this, they've lost this, they've whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. You won the division. But you're making yourself, to your first point about the Browns game, you know, that's a game that if you had to have back, it would make life a lot easier right
total
now.
Total embarrassment is what that game was. A total embarrassment to lose to a team that we now know was ready to quit, because guess what they've done since then is quit. You all saw them yesterday against the Bengals. They haven't won since that Steeler game. Jameis Winston lost his job. That was an abomination. And that could cost you. It could eventually cost you a playoff win by you having to go on the road. There's a lot of questions here, Bob.
Let me ask you the question. I answered my own question.
Yeah.
And that is, would you want to play the Ravens in the playoffs? Of all the teams you have to choose from. Not me.
Yeah, if you're healthy. Absolutely. They were ready to lose that game. They were ready to lose that game after Lamar saw a ghost again
that
like
wasn't
he does
Lamar's
every
ghost.
Time.
It was a bad read by Bateman.
They were ready to lose that game, in my opinion.
Okay. I think if Derrick Henry gets going, that's a monster that you don't want to deal with. So
if they give him
in
the
my
ball.
Opinion, I would rather them not play the Ravens. I'd rather them be home to the Chargers, Denver.
Of course, yes.
Well, that was my question.
Your question was, do you not want... What was your question? I don't know. Can
essentially,
they beat the
who do you want to see in the first round?
That's a different
if you
question.
Had choices of Denver, Chargers, Ravens, the last pick would be Ravens.
Yes, me too. I think that's obvious.
Okay.
Of course, I'd rather play Denver or the Chargers than the Ravens.
You made it sound like Lamar Jackson has ghosts in his head and it'll prevent him from winning any big game.
Because the way they can't possibly beat the Ravens, can they?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I didn't say can't possibly beat. What I said was it's a team I would not want to play against.
Okay.
That's all.
There.
I wouldn't want to play. That's the team I would. And you just confirmed it by you saying that, yes, I agree, it would be the third choice.
It would be the third choice. But you're making it sound like, oh my God, a team. I
didn't make it sound like that. I said, you asked me my opinion about who. I asked myself, who would I not want to see? It'd be the Ravens. That's my opinion. I don't think that's a good matchup for them, even though they've had success against them.
Who would you not want to see? So I don't know. I'm thinking I wouldn't want to see the Chiefs or the Bills.
Well, no, you're not going to see them of the teams.
Okay, in the first round, you were saying yes, I would definitely want to see the Chargers or Broncos above the Ravens.
Which is why you're confirming my thought.
Do I think a healthy Steelers team could beat the Ravens in the playoffs?
They could beat any team
healthy.
Would
have a good chance to beat the Ravens home or away? Absolutely. Why do I think that? Because they always do, except when half their roster's missing.
Okay. I'm just saying this is a different – I think Lamar Jackson's a different quarterback this year than he's been in previous years. And the only thing he has left to do is win in the big moments. He got to an AFC championship game. The expectations are extremely high. That pressure is there. It's real. It's tangible for him. Let's see how he answers it. But his season has made me think that he's ready to answer it. That's all. With a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield.
Possibly. I would like the Steelers' chances if they show up with Pickens and a healthy T.J. Watt. I really would. The Ravens were ready to lose that game, I think. And all it took for Lamar to finally have his good game against the Steelers was three quarters of their secondary missing and half of T.J. Watt. That's the way I saw it. Having said that, Bob, Russell Wilson is the order of the day at 412-928-9370. A lot of social media vitriol directed toward Russell Wilson. Did you get a lot of it on the postgame show on television?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's always that. And then it comes down to Tomlin. But I always tell people, did Tomlin make Russell Wilson try to go for the goal line and not slide? Did Tomlin throw that pass in the flat that was terrible? No, he didn't do that. Those mistakes happen.
Say the first one wasn't a mistake, and I agree with you.
It's not one of those things I look at and say, oh my God, he was trying to make a play. He saw the goal line. We've seen them before on first and goal not score or settle for Boswell. How many times? He saw an opportunity. Did he make a judgment call split second? Yes, he did. He thought he could get there. He didn't.
I agree with you 100%. So you don't think it was a mistake, and neither do I.
But the last one was. But my point
the
was.
The last one was.
The vitriol
obviously
comes
lost
after Tomlin. They blame all these things that happen in a game.
This isn't the one that I didn't love everything Tomlin did. I put the Browns loss squarely on Tomlin. It was one of the worst games he ever coached in Pittsburgh, and it's coming back maybe to haunt him.
There were decisions in that game, yes, that absolutely affected what they did.
But in this game, I think two competing ideas can both be in play here. A, Russell Wilson lost them the game. B, if you're asking me arrow pointed up or down on Wilson afterward, I say up. And maybe I'm the only one who thinks that makes sense, but I think it makes sense. I thought that he elevated a group of pedestrian receivers. He was able to elevate them in the game. He was moving around. He clearly still has the arm strength. He made some spectacular plays. Yes, it's a horrible idea to give the ball to the other team on a terrible pick six interception after your team just gained momentum. That's bad. We all agree on that. That lost them the game. I would agree on that. But his overall play, to me, their ability to push the ball down the field in chunks, as Tom Brady would say, gives me more hope for this Steelers team, certainly than a Kenny Pickett team, than a Mason Rudolph team, than a Justin Fields team or a late-stage Ben team. Maybe that's just me. How down are you on Russell Wilson at 412-928-9370? 928-9370. And the last point, Bob, is I've never seen, and I talked to an old-time Steeler this morning, and we were both laughing about it. I've never seen so much angst over a guy not lowering his shoulder at the goal line. So much angst over a guy lowering his shoulder at the goal line and trying to score. I thought that was the idea here, is you try to score. You lower your shoulder. There's only one guy to beat, and you try to score. You made a great point, Bob. Patrick Mahomes did the same thing earlier in the day on a high ankle sprain.
And he got nailed.
And if he gets hurt, they have no hope. And he got nailed at the goal line and he scored. You score points with your teammates that way. I guarantee you they're not upset with Russell Wilson. In fact, I guarantee you they loved it. The coaches loved it. That's trying to win the war and maybe not making the smartest, wisest, safest is maybe the best word, safest decision in game. But you're winning the war overall with your teammates. You're trying to be a leader. You're trying to get the ball in the end zone. Can you imagine if we had this conversation a million years ago, and this was the one I had this morning, with Terry Bradshaw? Oh, my God, why didn't he slide? He should have run out of bounds. He should have protected.
Franco got criticized on this anniversary date of the Immaculate Reception. How many times was he criticized for running out of bounds back then? Remember? Oh, be like Earl Campbell. Well, yes. There was a self-preservation philosophy there that worked for Franco Harris. Why would you take extra hits for another yard, really?
Yeah, I mean, this to me is a little different because it was simply there's the goal line. I guarantee you, Franco.
No, I'm just saying
he was a running back, but you know what I'm saying.
To my point was those people would criticize Franco for doing it.
Where
it was in this case, I understand what was going on there, and again, he has to make a split decision. Thought, and there was also a potential block there that he may have been looking for. It again happened so fast.
I loved it. The other guy made a great play. He made a phenomenal play. Okay. I loved the fact that he lowered his shoulder and tried to score a touchdown. I thought that was the idea. I want quarterbacks like that. You think Josh Allen slides there?
Oh, no.
You think Ben slides there? I've seen games in the AFC North where he doesn't slide at the goal line.
No.
You think? No. I loved that. And he fumbled. Okay, so the world ends. The play he lost the game
again,
on is the interception.
You can also look at the corresponding response by their own defense. That ball's at the 4-yard line.
Right.
You can't get off the field. In fact, they made it look relatively easy in like 6 plays.
They did. Yeah, they did.